we go, Barflies. Welcome to the Barfly Tailgate Show. You already know it's live. It's done by Barflies, for Barflies, and all the other Bears fans out there. We got a huge show for you guys planned today. All kinds of things going on. Let me get to this thing quick. First, we got Mr. Ryan Badgley. Badge of honor. Badge, what up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Celebrating Victory Monday. And, I mean, today, no better way to cap it off, man. So I'll let you introduce AC, and then we'll get to our special guest this afternoon.
Yes, sir. Next, we got Mr. AC, the bearded Bears fan. AC in the place to be, the Kentucky kid. What up, man?
What's going on, fellas? Just like Badge said, a beautiful Victory Monday. My Cats won Saturday. My Bears won Sunday. And let's get into it, man. I'm pumped.
Damn straight, man. All right, so without any further ado, we want an intro for you. The great A, the top wide receiver of the Chicago Bears, Mr. Allen Robinson. Allen, welcome to the Barfly Tailgate Show again, man. We appreciate you coming back for a second round. How's things going, brother?
Things are going well, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course, man. Of course. Hey, we're going to run right through this thing. We know you're short on time. We want to run right through this thing. Pop some questions your way. We'll do some football questions. We'll hit some within reach stuff. We'll do talk about the virtual event tonight, man. And, you know, we'll just kick it from there. So I'm gonna start this thing off with Mr. Badgley. First off, happy Victory Monday. Thank you for bringing cheer to all of our hearts. But I'm going to start this thing with Mr. Ryan Badgley. Badge, go ahead. Send it, man.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for joining us, man. You know, we've been, you know, supporting Within Reach for the last year, trying to help grow what you're trying to do in the community, man. And to have you on with us, it's again, is such an honor, man. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about yesterday and getting to that 5-1 as a Bears fan. You know, we're all smiling, feeling happy, you know, knowing where you guys are right now, being 5-1 and the offense, you know, really still hasn't found that, had that game yet. You guys got to feel really confident knowing it's coming. How do you feel it sitting at 5-1 knowing you offensively haven't played your best ball yet?
Yeah, you know, I think that's exactly what you said is, you know, confident, you know, confident in us that we're going to figure it out and find that. You know, we haven't had that breakout game yet. I thought we've played really well throughout the course of the season in different situations. You know, again, I mean, we found ways to win games. I think in NFL, that's what's most important. But again, I mean, everybody wants, you know, the fantasy points and the stat lines and stuff like that, you know, so we haven't had that sexy win, if you will, you know. So again, I mean, everybody's hunting for that and searching for that, you know. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, looking back at even how it was on the team playing, man, me, Jimmy Graham, Nick Foles, Coach Nagy, you know, we sat there and talked about that, you know, again, how we can get this thing going, you know. But at the end of the day, we can't get too frustrated and tied up into certain things, you know. We're at 5-1, you know. We got to just continue to improve and make the necessary changes, you know, as we go.
And yeah, being and having that conversation with those guys, I mean, that's vet. I mean, you guys are veterans. That's veteran leadership, having that conversation. How do you portray that to some of these younger guys, the Darnell Mooneys, Dave Montgomery, only in his second year, to understand that, hey, yes, right now, you know, we're not clicking, but guys, we can feel it, you know, roll with it. How do you keep those guys in that same mindset as you guys as veterans?
Yeah, you know, I think just to continue to reiterate that, you know, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I feel like for us, we may not be always clicking, you know, but at the same time, I think that, you know, we're clicking well in the most important times of the game. You know, I think that even when you look back to week one to, you know, to week three in Atlanta, you know, to last week against Tampa, and now this past week against Carolina, you know, for those situations, you know, that we're getting into as far as needing to score points or needing to make it a two-score game again, you know, we've been clicking in those areas. You know, I know like last weekend and even against Tampa, you know, the last play of the game for me, you know, I got to be able to just go ahead and seal the deal and put it away, you know, so I'll definitely take the honors on that. You know, but at the end of the day, when we get into certain situations in these games, you know, I think that's when we're playing our best.
Yeah, for sure, man. Now, talking about certain situations in the game, right? I'm sure a lot of people noticed, but we seen you line up in that backfield. Is they just putting the superstar back there as a decoy, or is there a little plan to maybe get you a little handoff back there or some sort of run out of the backfield?
You know, Coach Nagy has so much stuff dialed up. You know, again, I think as far as him just trying to, you know, use me and move me around and put me different places. You know, again, like I said before, for me as a person, you know, I've always had the ultimate amount of faith in Coach Nagy, you know, which is, again, a big reason of why I came here, you know. So, again, for us, you know, just the faith that we have in him as a as an offensive play caller and the onus on us as far as getting everything right and getting everything together, you know, I think that's where you kind of see the see everybody, you know, kind of as cliche as it may sound of us saying that, you know, that's what makes us feel good, knowing that our best ball is ahead of us. You know, when you sit back and look at it, you know, for us 5-5-1, and we haven't had that game. We've just clicked for 60 minutes. You know, we've had games we've clicked for, you know, 25, 30. But knowing that, you know, again, even myself, you know, I think I've played decent ball this year. You know, I haven't had that game that I've wanted to have, you know, where I'm just, you know, putting it all together. You know, I think that I've had spurts of it, you know, and made some plays week in, week out. But again, I haven't even played my best ball yet either for myself this season, you know, and knowing that, you know, for me, definitely, you know, makes me feel good, you know, looking forward to it. Because each and every week, you know, I'm trying to go out there and try to, you know, be perfect.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I know we've seen a couple that we were talking about on the show yesterday morning where it's like four plays in a row, just A-Rob, you know, and just moving that ball downfield, the big third and nine yesterday. I mean, you know, I mean, there's we see it, man, and we know it's coming too. And we know that there's you know, it's going to take some chemistry. It's going to take some all getting together and whatever. And I think everybody's waiting for the top on this thing to just blow off so we could turn around and smack the rest of the media outlets that, you know, yeah, that
for
are.
Sure, for sure. I mean, that's the league though. You know, I think that's even what makes it so funny is, you know, when you look across the board, you know, you may see a couple of teams on a year to year basis kind of have those or a decent amount of those sexy wins. But other than that, man, everybody else is just, you know, grinding it out. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's how it is in this league sometimes, man. You got to get your wins how you can get them. Like I said before, everybody wants the fantasy points and everybody wants, you know, the stat line and things like that. But at the end of the day, this is the NFL, you know. So for us, we're striving for that, you know. But what I can say is, you know, when it comes down to situational football and things like that, you know, as a team and as a unit, we're on top of it. You know, I think that it's just we haven't all played complimentary football, you know, exactly at the time needed. You know, we've had our defense get some stops and give us some short fields. We haven't capitalized on touchdowns and things like that, you know. So once we kind of put all that together, man, we know how scary this team can be.
Yeah, for sure, man. Before I pass it to AC, I know you were talking about Coach Nagy. I wanted to ask you, so Coach Furry, right? A lot of us follow him on social media, and he's an inspirational dude, man. And I mean, I'm sure more so on the field or in the locker room, but what does Coach Furry bring to the table? And, you know, like how inspirational is he, you know, throughout? I mean, this guy just on social media and that, and talking to him on the side here and there, he seems like he brings it all the time, man. How is he, you know, to have as a coach?
That dude's fired up 24/7 from the moment his eyes crack in the morning to the moment they go to they close at night, man. He's fired up, you know. But again, I think it's fun and dope to have as a player, you know, even for having a coach who also played in the league, who kind of going through some of those similar situations, you know that you can have real conversations with. You know, rather if it's on and off the field, you know. But I think for him, you know, he has such a high standard of us, you know, and makes that known and pushes us, you know. But again, as a player, for me, you know, I wouldn't want anything less. You know, even how Coach Nagy kind of came out last week and challenged the offense and things like that. For me, as a player who want to be the best player that I want to be, you know, you don't want anything less. You know, you want to be held to the highest of standards. You know, like for me as a player, I want to be held to that high standard. I want every part of my game to be nitpicked, you know. And again, for me, I like it and I embrace it. You know, even as far as the media stuff, when I get on Twitter, you know, I'm a person who's very active on Twitter. But again, I see all the media reports and stuff like that. And for me, as a player, you know, all that stuff do is just challenges me and, you know, create that chip on my shoulder even more. You know, and again, I appreciate it and I embrace it. You know.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the rookie, Darnell Mooney. How is he? Because I feel like he just kind of bursts onto the scene. You know, us Bears, myself included, I wasn't sure who he was until he drafted him, and then I did some research on him, and I was like, okay, what is it like? I feel like it's a mentorship from you to the younger wide receivers, and I'm sure everyone else on the offensive squad, but how is it – how is Darnell Mooney – you know, in the film room, in the weight room and stuff like that.
Yeah, man. He's one of those guys who for me, I really enjoy kind of being a mentor to. You know, I don't even want to say mentor, because he's a person who seeks out the knowledge of wanting to be the best player he could be so much, you know. So again, for me, it's fun, man. When you got a rookie like that, man, who wants to be as good of a player as they can be, you know, who wants to maximize their opportunity as much as possible, man, it's fun, you know. And it's easy being a vet, you know, with a guy like that and playing alongside a guy like that, man. Like, it's been fun, man. Since we drafted Mooney, you know, me and him got a chance to work out together this past summer in Tampa before we even kind of got on the field as Bears fans. So as Bears, you know, but even, you know, then as I got a chance to get on the field with him and kind of see what kind of guy he was, man, like, that dude is a worker, man. He wants to be the best player that he could be, whether that's catching jugs on Tuesdays, you know, when we don't even have practice, or, you know, taking care of his body. You know, he's the guy who wants to, he wants to contribute, and he wants to contribute in a big way. And I think the future for him is extremely bright.
So we've got a lot of fans in the chat with us, Alan. And one of the questions that they keep asking is the non-PI call yesterday, Anya, inside the 5-yard line. Had one last week as well. When you're out there, man,
start throwing stuff again.
I know, same here. When you're out there in the heat of the moment, how frustrating is that for you, knowing he was there early and not seeing that yellow come out?
It's frustrating, but I think the more frustrating part is when you see the exact same thing happen later in the game.
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
That's what makes it even more frustrating. You know, I think that I guess like an offseason emphasis was, I guess, letting the players play. I mean, from what I've heard, it's been a lot less holding calls and DPIs and stuff as well. But it's so tough. You know, when you see a play like that and you see in other games like some OPI calls that have literally caused teams to lose games.
Yeah.
You know, that's hand fighting. And then you see plays like that that's not called. It's, you know, I have no idea what the reasoning or whatever is behind it. You know, again, I mean, sure, I thought we had, you know, pretty clear understanding of what pass interference is, you know, but I mean, I guess it's a little gray area now.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken, you know, multiple touchdowns off the board for Eddie Jackson. You know,
he was voicing it last night, man.
Again, I feel him, man, because that's it is frustrating. Like I said before, it's frustrating because it's like I could see if that's what was like the standard of it now, but at the same time, like, you had the same exact play in a game. One is a PI and one isn't.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, like, I mean, what was the difference? You know, is it just, I mean, is the ref going to say that it was his angle of it or whatever the case may be? But it's no difference. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't even understand how you justify to say one was a defensive pass interference call or one wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jalen had perfect coverage on that deep ball to the left side, and they called the PI on that.
You know, it's like, man, it's like I said before, I have no idea what it is. You know, I was even asking Coach Furry, I think that this year, I think it's been what? I think we had a DPI in this game. I think Javon had, they called one up for somebody guarding him. So I think that's like maybe two for us on the year, you know, and just, I mean, in six games, I mean, I think that's like pretty low. I mean, I would say, you know, again, I don't really know how many other flags we've had as far as like defensive holding and stuff like that. But at the end of the day for us, you know, we try not to get too frustrated. You know, you just got to live with it. You know, we see Matt get
right
all the time, all game. So,
yeah, uh-huh. Next play, next up, got to follow that mentality. Well, Alan, we talked a little ball with you. We want to get into the special night you have tonight with your Within Reach Foundation, a night within reach. And why don't you tell, you know, some of the Barroom listeners what's going on tonight with your event now, you know, that we're in this COVID protocol. Obviously, you can't have a whole room full of people. Yeah. How's this going to work tonight?
Yeah, you know, so for any other information, go to AlanRobinson12.org. But how it is, you know, you can purchase tickets or, you know, to log into it, and it will be done virtually, you know, and then at the same time for us, it's typically a very intimate event, you know, where players can come and have dinner and meet some of my teammates and myself and kind of interact with us a little bit and have a live auction and things like that. But unfortunately, we can't, you know, like you said, due to COVID-19, but we'll try to make the experience as enjoyable as possible by still having a live auction still having some other pretty unique things that will be able to be auctioned off. And, you know, I'll have some of my teammates on the Zoom so you can kind of chat with those guys as well. So, again, I mean, this is a big fundraiser for us. You know, again, this is kind of the driver for our back to school event, for our Operation Elf event, for the things that are, you know, helping us put reading rooms in Boys and Girls Clubs. And then now, even with COVID, you know, we've been able to try to give back by partnering with the Greater Chicago Food Depository by giving food to some families, you know, who have been affected mostly by COVID, you know, due to lost jobs and due to kids not being able to have free lunch and stuff in school. So the household is a little bit filled. So, again, this right here is our biggest fundraiser and biggest opportunity to be able to make an impact in the community.
Yeah, and on that one, though, so on that one, now, I told you last time, I know when we talked that, you know, my sister's a Chicago public school teacher, and, you know, I explained everything to her last time, but with COVID and the whole virtual learning thing now, a guy, you know, that another follower and a guy that we follow on Twitter, Ross Reed, had put out this morning that since the beginning of the school year, 15,000 kids in the Chicagoland area haven't gone to school. Like they just don't sign in the morning. How is the foundation, I guess, trying to refocus because of this change, you know, and how's the refocus or any of that to where, you know, we can kind of get them to where they need to be and or get them the assistance that they need now that it is a total change of the learning environment.
Yeah, man. It's been tough, man, because it's like now what makes it even more tough is the fact that you're kind of dealing with technology, you know, so it's like you have some kids
right.
who not have access to a laptop or access to a cell phone to be able to log into certain stuff, you know, so it's extremely tough, you know, even as far as, you know, trying to get into some of these public schools to even figure out what kids need what, you know, that's what makes it extremely tough, you know, so even for us, we found that the biggest benefit with us is working with the Boys and Girls Club because we're able to get back a lot more feedback and a lot more information, you know, as far as who needs what and how that goes. But even now with COVID, you know, we haven't even been able to really get into the Boys and Girls Club, you know, how we normally are because, you know, I mean, nobody's going, you know. So, again,
right.
It's been extremely tough, man, for us. You know, again, we're trying to figure out all ways. You know, I think the biggest thing for us that popped out from, you know, gaining information around the community for sure was via food. You know, again, like I said before, those same kids who normally get free lunch and things like that, you know, we're not able to get those meals when that's breakfast, lunch, and even some dinner, you know, and at the same time, you have even some of those kids' parents, you know, who have now been laid off from jobs and things like that, you know, so for us, you know, the biggest thing was that we found was food, you know, so again, as we kind of get deeper into this year and into next year, hopefully, you know, we start to at some point get past this thing, but we're trying to find, you know, more and more ways on how we can, you know, better and impact, you know, the things that we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Alan, your foundation in just this short amount of time in Chicago has really made an impact in the city. And, you know, you've been on, you know, all the national media shows. You've come on with us now a few times. It's got to feel amazing knowing that what your foundation is doing is making a difference. And, you know, kudos to you for that. How does it feel knowing that you're improving the lives of these children, you know, tenfold just by doing something like this?
Yeah, it's a great feeling. You know, it's a very good feeling. Like I said, you know, especially when we get to like around Christmas time, being able to take some of the kids and their family shopping, you know, and things like that, being able to see the looks on those kids' faces, you know, is always priceless, you know, and at the same time, you know, it's a testament too to, you know, the city of Chicago and the support that we have gotten, because again, I mean, we can't do this on our own as far as, you know, being able to do all these different things that we want to do. You know, granted, I have the platform to kind of, you know, create the initiatives to be able to do it. But, you know, we've had a lot of support around the community, you know, as far as coming to our events, you know, being able to donate, you know, on the website and things like that to make all these things happen, you know? So again, I greatly appreciate, you know, the support from the Chicago community first, you know, and as we continue to grow with this thing, we want to continue to be able to impact more and more.
Yeah, I just put up the auction site at the bottom of the screen, guys. So if you're watching live and you're looking to bid on some of these items, Just use that web address at the bottom of the screen there. And, you know, I'm going to put these balls up here for just a second. So here are the footballs that Alan will be signing for us. And guys, you're going to have an opportunity to win one of these Alan Robinson autographed Barroom Network Badge of Honor footballs. If Alan's going to sign them for us, simplest thing you're going to do is have to just make a donation to the Alan Robinson Within Reach Foundation, and you can win those footballs. So really great job by the Ball Girl putting those together. And Alan and his whole Within Reach Foundation team for working this out. Bobby, I'm going to send it back to you because I know you got something surprise here for Alan here before we let him go.
Yeah, we'll wrap this thing up. But Alan, I just wanted to let you know, man. So we deal with a couple sponsors with not only the Within Reach Foundation, but you know, Manscaped, and then we got another one, Accelerate Mortgage, and one of our sponsors, Chicago native Mike Kaser, president of Accelerate Mortgage, has generously decided to donate $7,500 to the Within Reach Foundation today, and greatly supports everything. Yes, sir. Greatly supports everything you're doing in the community and, you know, and on the field, of course, man. Childhood friend, and he's a great dude, man. And he was going to come on with us today, but he was at Game 7 last night for them Dodgers. And, you know, I seen that Mookie Betts tweet, too. So,
the man is grabbing everything, man.
I know.
Unreal. But definitely, man, we appreciate it. You know, I mean, people don't understand how far, you know, $7,500 can go. As far as, you know, food, you know, as far as books for our reading rooms, you know, back to school stuff, you know, Christmas stuff, you know, we appreciate that so much.
Yes, sir. And I just want to thank Accelerate Mortgage for you know, hooking us up and helping us out with that. They, you know, they were just right there right away, man. They responded right back with, yeah, we're in, let's do this. So without a doubt, man, we appreciate everything you bring, not only to the community, man, to the field, to this team and joining us, man. It's, you know, obviously, you know, we back you 100% with everything, man. And you know, sorry I couldn't get any dirt on you, but next time we'll see what happens.
I appreciate it, man. I really do. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
So take much, care. Man. It,
man. All right, man. Take it easy. Y'all have a good week.
Take care, right, man. Have a good one, man.
There we go, Barflies. That was the man.
Man,
you know what
that
I'm saying?
Great.
That's 12 in the house, man. He's there. He's just chilling, man. He's ready. KB. He was ready, just firing back and forth, man. And you know, the pre-show talk and that, and you know, just the continuous support that not only from, you know, this partnership badge, like, this thing's a good thing, man. Like, back and forth, yeah, all the man. Time with these guys. The Within Reach found it. We didn't even tell them yet about the donation.
Yeah, they don't even know yet. Yeah, that was the first person to find out.
Yeah, we didn't want them to spoil the surprise, man. But we're gonna be bringing you guys the Accelerated Mortgage. We're gonna be bringing you an accelerated a little, you know, accelerated segment. So we'll do that thing up and go from there. But I mean, man. Just a great interview all around for you guys. Check out this GiveSmart link, man, for this auction. Because
guys, I'm telling you, the prizes. Yeah. Oh my gosh! I mean, there's an autographed Paul McCartney bass guitar that you can win on this auction. Yes, for Bears fans, I know that's pretty much everybody in this chat is a Bears fan. There's Bears autographed stuff that you can win. If you donate $100, that automatically qualifies you to win something personal from A-Rob, whether it's an autograph, a pair of gloves, cleats, you know, something from him. This is the partnership with them and us. I is something I'm very excited about. I have been since we announced it. And the reason for that is, as you guys see it, Alan is such a great person.
This is a genuine guy.
Only on the field, but off the field as well. He's a family guy, a family man, and he just wants to do good for the people in the community that he's in. So it's an honor and a privilege to have this opportunity to be able to speak to him and partner up with his foundation. And, you know, badge of honor segment, this is what it's about.
Yeah, with this auction too, man. He's like, he'll join you for dinner at the steakhouse.
Yeah.
Like the one says, like, he'll come to your house, like, for the other dinner thing. Like, there's all kinds of, like, he's got video games for the kids, right? Like, he hop in, well, maybe not the kids, because I jam on the stick sometimes too, but either way, like play video games, and you know, and like, there's a lot that he's involved with in these auctions. So it's not just like, hey, we're gonna auction off this or that, right? And there's some that are like, he's auctioning time too. I don't know how he's going to do this when we're going to be in Tampa Bay in February, but I'm just saying, man, you know, this dude's bringing it to the table, man, and really, really increasing, you know, just the livelihood and the life, the quality of life of people in Chicago, man. So,
man, I gotta say, I'm not from Chicago, but I grew up, you know, in public housing, free lunch. So I know what those kids go through, and for Allen Robinson to go out of his way to help people out like that, it's just, it's incredible. And there's, you can't say thank you enough to somebody that does stuff like that, uses their platform for something for good. You know what I'm saying? It's just, shout out to A-Rob, man. That's just great.
Yeah, for sure, man.
KB, your thoughts, man. I didn't see you come in until a little bit later, man, but you got to listen to the interview, man. You know, A-Rob's the man, man.
Man, he's a genuine guy, man. You kind of see that Midwest blue collarness from him. You know what I'm saying? Because you know he's from Detroit. I mean, dude, to live so close, to have been born in Chicago, living on the South Side, bouncing around to the North Side. To hear the things that you hear about Chicago is great to know that there's people out there trying to actually make a positive change. You know, you can hear the arguments all over the place. Well, people in Chicago do this, man, and it's not about that. You know what I'm saying? It's about these communities that reach out for help. It's about the underprivileged and what they go through on a daily basis. Anything Chicago's Vegas, man. Anything happens in Chicago, bro. Everything happens in Chicago.
Yeah.
So to have somebody who's willing with that type of platform to come into these neighborhoods, to come in and help these kids out, these children that need this help. I mean, dog, it's the type of things that brings tears to your eyes. It's a calling. And you couldn't ask for anybody better than Allen Robinson to do that.
Guys, so, you know, the link is right at the bottom of the screen there, guys, if you're interested in any of the auction items. I believe that the Bears apparel is all autographed. You know, I'm sure you can go to the site and find that out for sure, to be sure. And then if you're looking for more information on where you can get tickets and how you can sign up, just visit AllenRobinson12.org. That's the best place to go to find any of that information. We're going to change fronts here now, guys. And I know we talked with Allen about the win yesterday, but, you know, while we're here, you know, we might as well give our perspective on the game yesterday. Some of it we touched on with Allen. You know, obviously it's Victory Monday, guys. We're 5-1 now. And I think even myself, I have been skeptical of this team, you know, offensively, and can they put it together? And I feel as we move on each game, I'm starting to feel a lot more comfortable. I think I said it yesterday. I you know, the Foles move at first, when this all first went down, I was not a fan, but man, this guy is growing on me. He was fired up after this game yesterday in his post-game presser. And that's what I want to see. That's what I like to see. And, you know, I'm amped. You know, we're sitting here 5-1. Do we have a tough stretch coming up? Yes, we do. But you got to enjoy this. You know, I think everybody, everybody wrote us off yesterday. You know, I don't think there were a lot of people that expected us to win.
Yeah, it is a big stretch of games, and it's a big stretch of games against some good teams. And but whatever. I mean, you're going to get that all the time, right? And like, that thing's going to come. And with this stretch of teams that we got, I mean, the Titans are still undefeated. You got the Saints, you got the Vikings, you got the Packers. You got, like, of course, I mean, the Vikings are 1-5, but we know. I'm just saying, man, like, to go through the game yesterday and continuously lead the game, right, and not be chasing, not have to do this come from behind stuff, not it releases the frustration during the game, right? Like everything isn't as exempt, like just everything doesn't blow up as much. We know that they can come back. We know that they can do, you know, get back on the board. But like Alan said, man, the offense is in question. We know that they have the tools and everything there, and they're ready to blow up. But it's been hard for them to move downfield. I know we talked about it last night a little bit on the after show, but it's been hard for them to move the ball downfield. And what we all want is that blowout game. What we have normally got, and you guys all know as Bears fans, is a close game, man. It's always within 7 or 10 points. So
yeah,
confidence is definitely there. People are showing more confidence in Pagano now, know, like what he's done in back-to-back games, and more confidence in Danny T and filling these holes. And either way,
Danny's stepping up.
Yeah, either way, I think that this thing, like I said, talking to Alan, this thing, the top's just ready to blow off, and we're going to get one of those games, but don't expect that to be the norm.
Yeah, well, right. I was telling Badge before we got on, you look at the NFC, and everybody, myself included, had like Seahawks, Packers, and then we see the Packers get mollywalked by the Buccaneers. And that's a team we had just beat the week before, so to me, that shows – that were better than I even thought. Now, I wish we could run the ball better, and I don't know if that's a scheme issue or an offensive line issue, but if we can get the run game going, I mean, I think we're right there with anybody else in the NFC. Now, the AFC, that's another story because they got Chiefs, Titans, Ravens. That's a it's tough over there, but
Steelers, I think we're –
yeah, Steelers.
They got a lot going on over there in the AFC, man.
But I mean, we'll see our measuring stick, you know, when we play teams like the Saints and play the Packers still twice. And I'm here for it, man. I'm excited. I'm really excited about this defense, the way they're coming together. And we're seeing them. I mean, we gave up 19 to the Buccaneers. And how much did they put on the Packers last night? 38, 40, ooh, something 38. Like that.
38.
I mean,
I was lucky enough to not have a call during the Green Bay game, so I got to see all of that ass whooping.
I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers on his ass all night, man. It was all great. Night. He was so pissed.
He had that look that Tom Brady had when Khalil Mack was getting off of him. Like, come on, let's do it again. It was that was a glorious thing to see, man. It was just one of those nights where you seen he was dejected, and then you see did Bakhtiari get hurt in that game?
Well, he left he left for the locker room, but he was walking, so it's not like he wasn't carted off.
Well, he was out for the rest of the game though. So
yeah, he was out for the rest of the game because I could have swore I heard something about a pec injury or it was something that had to do.
Oh wow!
In this general area. He was back on the sideline, so.
We know all about that with our own James Daniels. We just lost James Daniels. Rashad Coward came in yesterday. AC touched on it. That run game, they've got to figure that out. I don't know if that's changing pieces on the O-line. I know it was Rashad's first start at left guard, I think probably ever.
I wanted to see Bars. I said it yesterday. But.
Yeah, hey, I thought Bars was coming back in.
You know, it's going to be tough to run the ball, I think. I mean, the Panthers – weren't really a formidable run stopping team.
They were the worst in the league.
Formidable, you mean worst?
So,
but it's the same predictable runs that we do, man. It's okay. Yeah. Try to hit up the middle. Oh yeah. Do this halfback draw play. It's the same shit over and over. And it makes no headway.
I think the problem is it might not be as much as everybody wants, but is it enough? You're 5-1. Like, it might just be enough.
I feel like this. I just want to get this out before you go ahead on this.
Go ahead.
If you had a little bit more of a run, you're 6-0.
Maybe.
You know, they were able to run that ball against the Colts.
Yeah.
Nick Foles wouldn't have been getting destroyed the whole damn game. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I want to say this. Since Robbie Gould left, I have not been confident in our kicking. Now, when Santos steps on the field, I feel like it's going in. I haven't felt that way since Gould left.
Yeah, yeah. I was pretty confident in Santos, too. So, KB, like I said last night on Bear Football, man, we can run the – like, just because you continuously try to do it doesn't mean it's going to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I get whatever, but something has to be addressed first. Like, I think I put it like, you know, last night I said, you know, if you got damn a convertible, you're not living like – and you're driving through Seattle and it's raining, are you ever taking the top down? Because everything, everything just keeps getting in, man. And it's kind of like that, I think. Like, if everything keeps getting in, why are you even going to try? I get you have to change your pace and you have to do this, do that. But I don't know, man. I think Nagy just in his head, he's like, well, I don't have time to have a play not work. I don't have the patience.
And that's the problem.
That's the problem. Play not work. And I think that's where
you can run the ball and kill the clock. It's easier than just throwing these little passes. If you get an incomplete pass, it stops the clock. We saw it yesterday when we were trying to ice the game away and they threw the ball on third and two. It was an incomplete pass and it stops the clock. And then luckily, DeAndre Houston Carson, that month, he's came to play these last two weeks. He came out, you know, but
that's the thing, guys, is the frustrating part of not running the football. It is. It's super frustrating. I feel like we've been through this before in the Nagy era. Last year was a problem. You know, I don't think so much in 2018 because I think we were winning so much that it. I think we talked about it, but it wasn't as big of a factor. It's obvious the teams are just trying to shut down the run game at this point. The good thing is through this point, we've still been able to win games. Yeah. And if they figure it out, I mean, that's going to be the thing. Now, you know, we see some people in the chat talking about wheeling and dealing and pace.
We talked about last night.
Yeah, it's, you know, what are you willing to give up? You know, I don't want to give up a first-round pick. It's our first – going to be our first-round pick in 3 years, basically. Yeah. So I'd hate to give up a first-round pick, but – if we're winning games like this now and we're a piece, maybe a left guard or left tackle away from winning a Super Bowl, I might give up a first round pick for that, depending on who it is.
Can we say now, right, with James Daniels out, are we more of a left guard away or more of a left tackle away from winning from having a run defense? I mean, it's one or the other. You're not going to trade for both.
You're not going to trade for both, but the honest God truth, never be the left tackle right now. That's just it. That's the name of the game. Nobody's going to give up a decent left tackle.
It's too bad Bill O'Brien got fired because he's got a decent left tackle down there in Houston, and he likes to give away players for pennies, you know?
Yeah.
And I was going to say, they I don't know, man. It's rough right now because you have one issue and then another issue was created. So we all know Charles Leno, it is what it is. He's average. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're not going to get too much better than the average. Yeah, like you said, Bill O'Brien thing would be nice. This man just seems like he was throwing.
I'm with Gaines, though. We don't need to be giving up any draft picks.
We don't need to give up nothing right now.
I'm down to give up draft picks. Not a first rounder, but I'm down to give up draft picks. I'll sell them things for damn an offensive line right now. And
if you're looking for a left tackle, you're going to need a first rounder.
If I could
trade a third rounder for a left guard, I would.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the truth.
When you look at it, man, the defense is great right now, and it's not going to last long. And if you're too,
to be fine at left guard, though, he had that one bad play against Vita Vea.
I totally agree.
I think he'd be good at left tackle.
I don't know. I can't even give him. I can't even get a good reason. I can't even give a good reason why Bars didn't play. Something had to happen because.
He had a shoulder injury. He was on the injury report. Right.
Maybe that's
so
it.
for Yeah, he was on the injury report with a shoulder injury, but I think he was just limited. I don't think it was like a do not participate kind of a thing. Maybe they just felt better
about Cali. How he played last year.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, and I know everybody hates him and whatever, the one thing good about Leno, if you want to call it that, right?
I don't hate Leno. I think, like KB said, he's average. I think he's average too.
But
yeah, I was going to say,
this dude's got 84.
He's average left tackle.
I think he's got 84 consecutive starts, right?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't get hurt.
84 consecutive starts right now. His reliability is there. Yeah, he gives up plays. I get it.
For a seventh round pick,
I won't say any of those plays have lost us a game. I won't say that like that in particular has lost us one. He's going up. We're calling him average. He's going up against some of the best dudes in the league coming off that blind side. I mean, Barrett, he had Shaq over there for the Tampa game. It's not like he's playing against a bunch of schmucks, right?
Justin Houston beat him like a drum all night, all day in that Colts game.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know, man. I don't think he's going to stick around, but I don't think it's because of play. I think it's because of his contract. And next year, with this whole possibility of the contracts changing because of revenue brought in from the NFL and the cap and this and that, whatever, we got a lot of people to pay, man. And some of them ain't sticking around. One of the best ones, Kyle Fuller, he's going to have to.
Yeah, that is scary.
Yeah. Scary. And then there's a lot of pieces on this defense that, if you're in win mode right now, like win now mode, and you have to get it done, man, outside of a first rounder, I'll give away whatever, man. I'll give away whatever if they believe that, hey, this is going to do it. This is the piece. Or bring up like some of these other guys that we got sitting on the practice squad. I don't care. Round robin that thing. But either way.
And that's what I was going to say. Leno, he struggles. That's what it is. You look what he did before he got paid and you're like, you know, we all looked at that as, hey, that's a good signing. We've just locked up a left tackle. You know, since that point, he's gone downhill for sure. You know, as fans, we can sit here and point fingers all we want, but the coaching staff is going to make the decision on who's the best fit for them to play that position. Now, if they don't have somebody else better on this roster currently to take over for Leno, that's where the front office now has to make a decision, guys. All right, if the coaching staff feels he's not the guy for that spot, well, that's where now we've got to figure things out from a front office standpoint. And what are we going to do? Is there a free agent out there that could be better that hasn't signed yet? Trading. Obviously, we've already touched on trading. Well, what are you trading? Are you trading draft picks? Are you trading player for player? You know, what roster move do you make, you know, to get somebody in here? The hate for Leno over his play, I think sometimes is a little outlandish. You know, is he good? No, he struggles, guys, 100%. He totally does. But the verbal name calling and bashing and all that does nothing. This guy doesn't care what you think of him personally. He's a football player. Is he out there? He's out there. He's doing the best he can. Is it good enough for this team and this organization right now? No, probably not at all. But to name call and ridicule and you're bullies. You're like toddlers out there doing this kind of stuff. It's become mind-numbing at this point as I sit here and read your dumbass comments calling him an ass and trash and garbage. He's struggling, guys. He is, but he's got to figure it out. And I think the coaching staff is, at this point in time, stuck with he's the best option available on this roster to fill that position until they go out and do something different.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, it's – I don't know. I mean, every player has a bad play in a game, multiple bad plays in a game, two bad plays. For him, it may be a little more, which I'm sure it is. I get it. But it is what it is. Unfortunately, we're not in a position here, you know, as we're fanless here on the show, we're not in a position to make changes in the Bears front office. Can we make a stink and throw a fit about it? Sure. Do they care? No, they don't care. They don't care. If they think they've got the best piece to win, I mean, we're 5-1. So yeah. I don't know. To me, that outweighs.
We see him in practice too. We don't see him in practice. So if they give anybody else a shot, we don't know what they look like at that position. Like KB was talking about Bars at left tackle. Maybe he's good, maybe he's not, but we don't know. We never will know until he's given that shot. And I don't know. Yeah. Leno's not.
Ron,
going
I'm
anywhere.
With you, man. I don't. Either way, man. I don't really care about his feelings either. But
yeah, my thought of it, if it wasn't point? Leno, it'd be somebody else. If it wasn't
right,
Leno, it'd be
exactly.
Whatever, right. Man. Are we putting wins up? Yeah. So I really don't give a shit either way. We're putting up wins. Yeah, I agree with some of the chats. Nick's taking unneeded hits. Nick's taking unneeded sacks.
Sure.
Nick has had injury concerns. That's not.
I was going to say that's the thing.
That's a fear.
Nick has always taken those hits. His entire career has been based off of him standing in the pocket, taking those hits so he can deliver a strike down the field. Every fucking highlight you see of Nick Foles taking a deep shot, the man is legit being hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, man. He's an NFL player. He's built for the shit.
Yeah, I get it.
I get it. I think you look at the team as a whole. The defense is doing its part. The offense has yet to have its game. And you heard Allen say it. He thinks it's close. Foles has said it. He thinks it's close. The communication is getting better offensively week over week. AC mentioned it. Cairo Santos for the – I mean, I'll tell you, honestly, when he lined up for that 55-yarder, I thought, holy shit, what are we doing? But he nailed it.
He nailed it.
I mean, right there. So for me, I'm like, if he goes out here this week and they want to put him out for 56, okay. Just put him out there for 60 because he had plenty left on that ball.
He still had some room left on that ball, man.
Yeah. And I don't know what Jonathan Vilma was looking at. He's like, oh, well, he had maybe a couple yards left there.
Jonathan Vilma is like a Bears hater, man.
He's
every game he calls.
I mean, I know we're talking about kickers now, but Eddie's what, no longer got any money. You know, Eddie Pinheiro is out of De Niro. Is he done?
I put Eddie Pinheiro on the practice squad. We got the extended practice squad. Put him down there and let him.
He's got to win that job back. Yeah. He got to win a job back, man. I'm sorry.
You can't bench Santos after nailing a 55-yarder and
you better not, man. But you can't pass on 3rd and 2 when you're trying to run the clock out either. So, so who knows what the hell is going to happen, man? Swanky, Jonathan Vilma is a hooligan.
Wasn't he on the same team when we beat them in the playoffs? That's why he hates us.
Yeah, and that's why he hates us. 4,000 Clovers just brought up something, and I watched it twice yesterday, and we brought it up on Bear Football last night. The Foles presser, man. The Foles presser.
Oh, I loved it.
Dude, and the complete opposite of Mitch presser. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he's in there like, and he's like, oh, whatever.
Give a damn. He's like, I'm a...
And he's like, we were jamming to Meek Mill, you know, whatever, kind of made me feel good. Like, I was ready, you know? And he's like, I was like, geez, like, he is just, and they're like, well, what about that pick, you know, that you threw and whatever. He's like, oh, it was a bad throw. He's like, it was dumb. It was really dumb. He's like, I just kind of threw it up there. He's like, I probably should have thrown it out of bounds. He's like, but, you know, I guess I'll learn from it. And, you know, we'll go from there. And I was just
like, that's a 7-year veteran or however many, I may be undercutting his time in the league, but it happens. I mean, I say here going, what the fuck? Are you throwing that for?
Yeah.
You know what? He tried making a play. You know, now it didn't cost us a game. If it does, maybe we'll have a different reaction to it. I'm sure of it.
Sometimes the best response is, you know what, man? I tried to do something and I probably shouldn't have.
Yeah.
And that's better than Atlanta. Look at the film.
Yeah, when he played Atlanta, he threw that ball over three defenders and it just landed in the basket. Right. So
yes.
It's not like he hasn't made those type throws before. Hell, the cement was between two defenders. He just fitted in there. So sometimes you just got to try and trust your receivers, and sometimes it don't work out.
Yeah. I mean, either sometimes you put it in – it was a horrible throw. Nick admitted it. Sometimes you put it in a place where only your receiver could catch it, not where four other people can try to get it too. You know what I'm saying? But hey, mistakes happen. Mistakes happen, man. We've seen the GOAT get some picked. You know, we seen Aaron Rodgers yesterday on that pick six, and then on another pick
six.
Yeah, so it happens, man. But the difference is
Kentucky boy Mike Edwards got him a pick off A-Rod last night.
You know, either way, we got the W. They didn't. Doug, that's another thing that we had talked about before. He said trade Mitch. Who's your backup?
Nick's, well, I think in this COVID year, you've got to have a backup, man, because you never know. Plus, Nick's never finished a full season.
Yeah, and I wasn't going to ask A-Rob because I'm sure that they haven't been I'm sure they've probably been aware, but there's just not a reaction to it yet. So if you're in the chat and whatever, this came out a little earlier. One of the Carolina Panthers players tested positive for COVID-19. They're doing a retest right now. I'm sure they'll get that back shortly. But one of the players that was at the game and played in the game last night, from what I've read, tested positive. So right now, it puts a lot of questions on thing. You know what I mean? I guess the one maybe good thing for us and for them is that today's an off day for everybody, you know, and then we don't play till next Monday. So tomorrow is also an off day for the Bears.
Right.
I don't know if it's an off day for the Panthers or not, but it's an off day for us. So, I mean, we'll see. Hopefully the test is done again and it's a false positive and comes back negative. But who knows what's going to happen with this?
That's right.
The Panthers DB. Yeah. We talked about that with A-Rob, man. He didn't understand it either.
Yeah. If you want his reaction for that, go ahead and go back, you know, once this is over, go ahead and go back a little bit and take a look at it, because you could see it on his face. And I'm surprised he even answered, because you know these dudes can get fined for talking about refs and stuff, right?
Well, I thought the call on Jalen Johnson was even worse, man. He had perfect coverage. Perfect coverage. You can't cover it any better than they called pass interference. Basically, gave him a touchdown because that puts the ball, you know, right at the goal line.
Wes. All good, man.
Yeah, it's good, brother. I think the only way that the call on or the only reason that the call, in my opinion, on Fuller was worse,
that's because of the pick six.
Well, and because it had happened to us.
Right.
Like the same thing just happened, and they called it, and then they didn't call it back. So you're not calling the game the same way. Right. And of course, the pick six. I mean, the pick six is just the cherry on
top. Poor
Eddie
Jackson. That's two of them, man.
I know. Oh,
dude, he was fired up last night on Twitter, man. He was putting it out there, too, that he's like, come on, two in the first 6 weeks?
Yeah.
That's two they've taken away.
Yeah, man. And you seen after he hit the end zone, he turned around and seen the flag, man. He was just like,
Are you kidding me?
And he started going off a little bit on Twitter last night. You know, sharing stuff and talking about, talking about the refs, you know, or the lack of what they're really doing.
But this is something, guys, that last year, right? And I meant to bring this up yesterday and I forgot. So you can challenge PI, right? Or is that only if it's called?
I don't know. I know it was last year you could, man. I honestly don't even know if you can do that anymore because it's not a, I think it was in a test phase last year, right? I don't know if you can actually challenge PI anymore.
Oh, that was just a test phase? See, I thought they instituted it where if it's called, you can have them review to see if it's really PI. But I felt like it had to be called. It wasn't something. Oh, okay. So PI. So thank you, Jeremy. The PI challenge is gone. So, all right. So it's a moot point, I guess.
So last year you could, but I don't think you can anymore, man. And it was there were so many people doing it and so many whatever, right? But either way, man, it's like, how can you not in the same game? Like, I get that we've had other calls throughout the year and in the other games, but in the same game from the same positional judge, who would have been on the same side. You know what I mean? the same guy. Like, how is that a thing? How do you, how does it look this, different to you?
This is great right here. Hey, PFF, how about you start doing something useful and get some ref grades?
Dude, who is that?
That's great, man.
Yes.
That's great.
Serpentis. Dude, I don't know who that guy is, but I like his
demeanor. I like him already.
I mean, either way, man, I think it's something that should be addressed and it should be looked at, but they're not going to do it. There's still, granted, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of calls where us as fans and we're like, well, bullshit, and it could have gone
either. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Could have gone either way. Yeah. But don't tell me 10 minutes ago that this was bad and now tell me that it's good. Because the players now, how are the players even supposed to play? How are they supposed to do this shit? They don't know, like, is this legal? Is this not legal? And, you know, either way, man.
Like defenders throwing hits, man. They don't know what's a clean hit, and they don't know what's a 15-yard penalty. I thought the hit that they called on Kyle Fuller when he hit that guy, they called a 15-yard penalty on him. I thought it was he led with his shoulder. You know, it's not like he was –
He did, and the receiver is the one who lowered his head.
Right.
So
right.
When they went back, well, actually, I don't think they went back, but to me, actually, they did go. They would have had to have reviewed it because it was a scoring play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, I see that, and I see the offensive player turning to take a hit and lowering his head. To me, it's a clean hit on Kyle Fuller's part.
Yeah, and as a defender, how are you gonna? What is he supposed to do? Just stand back and let him complete the catch and spin off of him?
Yeah,
there's no way to play defense on that.
Yeah, there's no way because then what? Then there's gonna be Fuller's tackling or whatever. I think as a player and the the coaches should just turn around and be like, hey, dude. Whatever, they threw a flag. I disagree with the flag. Keep playing that way. Do it. Like get it. Like don't go dirty. Don't get frustrated. Don't whatever. Continue to make the hits that you're making. Continue to attack it how you are. And you know, these guys don't know their head from their ass. It's gonna be a different call next time. And and let them continue to go. I don't know, man. I'm not really sure how they approach it or if they even say anything. They might not say shit. They might just don't show any frustration. Except for the frustration with the call, and then the player knows, hey, it's good, you know, and just
look at the tape, they'll probably just be like, screw these refs, Kyle, just do your thing, man.
Yeah, Jonathan with a great point here. When Mike Pereira came in, he said clear shoulder to head contact. To me, on the broadcast, the way they were talking, they were making shit up. I mean, you're a fan sitting here watching these broadcasts, and I'm not a professional broadcaster, but I broadcasted sports for 15 years. You need to be honest with the people, whether it's watching. I did radio, so those people they can't see anyway. So they're taking what you're saying and believing what you're saying. For Mike Pierre to come on and say it was clear shoulder to head, it was not clear. He hit him in the shoulder. The guy lowered his head. And for Fox to allow that, I just threw me for a loop yesterday, guys. The way you're Jonathan Vilma, yeah. I mean, Bobby's showing it right there. It to me it's just a terrible on Fox's part. I mean, that's just a horrible, horrible analogy. And I've always liked Mike Pierre too. I always thought he was a decent official, and I've always pretty much agreed on them in the booth, but yesterday, I lost a lot of respect for him there yesterday because that was just awful. And the way we touched on Vilma earlier, I mean, just so one-sided. I know Greg Gabriel put a tweet out earlier today as well talking about him. You know, when you're watching it in an NFL game and you can tell the announcers are pulling for one team over the other, and that's kind of a little. I got a little.
Are we
bit
the only? I mean, so everybody knows, hands down, like whatever. I already know everybody's going to agree that Chris Collinsworth like just rides Aaron Rodgers' damn the whole time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Joe Buck and Troy.
Besides that, I feel like everybody's always like against the Bears for some reason.
Yeah,
because they know stuff like this happens. They'll get a rise out of it. Look at Okafora. He picks against the Bears every week because he gets clicks, he gets retweets, he gets likes because he knows the Bears.
Okafora's got more wins than the Vikings, though. How about that? I'm just kidding. I think they're tied. but yeah, like these dudes, I don't know, man. It's like every time we get them, there's just like, you know.
4,000 clovers. Joe Buck, another one. Yeah. Him and Aikman last, you know, that broadcast, the Packer broadcast yesterday.
Kofi. Yeah.
You know, Aaron Rodgers does some, you know, I hope he's using Manscaped when he's, you know, shaking and whatever there. I hope he's using Manscaped. But, you know, somebody else does that. It's a, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just did that. But Aaron Rodgers does it. Why? Because he's Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
That's why it's okay.
The Buccaneers made him pay for that, though.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't thrust his pelvic anymore after that.
Sue threw him, man. Sue gave him a little toss too.
Yeah,
man, he was in his ear all night too.
Yeah. But so not to rush you guys here. I know AC's got to get ready for work and whatnot, but we're Monday night next week, fellas. You know, the Rams Bears on Monday night. Now this is going
to
be the 13-6
game.
It's the third primetime game that these two teams have played in the last three seasons, I believe, right? Because you had one in Chicago last year. Mm-hmm. We were in L.A., and now I think we're in L.A. again this season.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because Santa's sleigh happened in 2018 when they came to Soldier Field.
Yeah, the great shutdown happened last year, right?
Yep.
Or was that 2 years ago? Shit.
I don't know.
Last season I was gone all year because I was in Japan, and that didn't happen.
Oh, that's right.
In Japan. Yep. So yeah. So, but either way, man, it's another test. And I mean, I think you've seen the remedy last night, you know, but it's another test, man. And who knows what's going to come of it, but we just need to keep firing away, man. And keep chalking up these dubs.
Yep.
It's definitely a tough road. It's not easy, right? But
McCowrie's gonna have to put his big boy pants on this week if he's the one starting at left guard. Because Aaron Donald's the best defensive tackle in the league.
You know, this is something that
and he was one pick away from being a Bear. God.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, just you think those one pick moves like
That's why I was okay with the Trubisky when they traded up for him. I was like, if that's his guy, go get him because look what happened with Aaron Donald.
Yeah. But
not that I hate Kyle Fuller. Kyle Fuller's falling out.
Oh, yeah.
But, I think back to Shea McClellan when we took Shea McClellan and Chandler Jones was sitting there when we could have had Chandler Jones. It's like,
it took Shea McClellan because he was on the Packers draft board. So they were like, we're going to take this guy away from the Packers.
Yeah, what a good plan.
Show you guys.
All right, boys. So I guess we can wrap this thing up, man. I know everybody's got stuff to do and get out of here. Everybody in the chat and that, we appreciate you guys joining us. Next week, we're going to go live Sunday night at 5 Central, 6 Eastern. Because the Bears have the Monday night game. So we're going to do the tailgate show Sunday night, 5 Central, 6 Eastern. We'll try to wrap up the rest of the NFC North games for you that day. I think the Packers are on a bye, though, right?
No, they're
not on a bye. The Vikings, somebody's on a bye. But either way, we'll wrap up the other ones for you guys, and then we'll give you, you know, our little thoughts on the upcoming Rams game and what's going on. And hopefully, pray with me, everybody. Hopefully this COVID thing from the Panthers doesn't affect anything.
Oh,
one for our viewing pleasure, right? But more importantly for the health and safety of the team and everybody involved, man. Again, we appreciate you guys joining us. Thanks for coming out today. Thank you to Mr. Allen Robinson. Thank you to the Allen Robinson Within Reach Foundation. Thank you to Mr. Mike Kaser and the huge donation that was made for the Within Reach Foundation from Accelerate Mortgage. Thank you to the Ball Girl for putting out for giving us those 12 footballs that Alan's going to sign, and we're going to raffle them off to all you guys here. And, you know, thank you to Manscaped for keeping our balls clean that we're going to give to you guys. That's the game plan. That's the way it works. Again, appreciate you guys joining us, man. Share it, like it, subscribe, send it to your friends. You know, and we're going to end this thing with a fat bear down.
Bear down. We'll be right back.